You're listening to Vatican Radio. On Sunday, Pope Francis is scheduled to leave Rome, headed for Myanmar and then Bangladesh on his 21st apostolic journey abroad. The Holy Father is due to arrive at Yangon's International Airport on Monday the 27th and spend 3 days in Myanmar, travelling to the new capital, Naypyidaw, for talks with the President and with State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi. In Yangon, he's due to meet with the nation's Buddhist leaders and with the Catholic bishops, as well as celebrating two masses before departing for Bangladesh on November the 30th. It's the first ever papal visit to this nation, formerly known as Burma, which suffered over half a century of oppressive military rule until elections in 2015, which were won by the National League for Democracy, led by Aung San Suu Kyi. Ahead of the Pope's departure, I spoke to the Archbishop of Yangon, Cardinal Charles Bow, and asked him about progress towards democracy in his country.
A few of the progresses that we have noticed is that in the government, in the ruling bodies, before us, the rulers were just Burma Buddhists. But now we find that in the ruling bodies, we have from not only the Burmese one, but we have from other ethnic groups. That's one thing. And considering the religious, we have also mixed not only the Buddhists, but also the Christians and other religions. That's one big progress in the ruling body. Another prominent change was that in Myanmar, the people that start having the mobile smartphones and lots of newspaper and journals are coming out, and they feel so relaxed that they have their freedom of expression. So the led by Aung San Suu Kyi, the NLD has been making progress in the civil administration and regarding education and livelihood. And now we see that tremendously it has grown very much on that. Though the military is still controlling much of the areas and still very powerful, and although it's very much in progress, but we see that our democracy is still a very initial state and still very fragile. And
How much freedom does Aung San Suu Kyi have as state councillor to really make important decisions to further this democratic process?
Yes, she has all the freedom, especially in the civil administration. But regarding the three areas of defense and border issues and that of the home affairs, the army still controls those three areas, and we would say that her authority is quite restricted. And constitutionally, she has no voice to speak against the army, what the military is operating here.
There's been so much criticism, as you know, in the international media about the border area up in Rakhine State. Some are calling it even genocide. Ethnic cleansing. What can you tell us about the situation there now and the plight of the people in that area?
Of course, they say that 500,000, 600,000, they mentioned that personally, I see that somewhat the international community has been a little exaggerated on that point. And, you know, the outside media, international media, is very strong. And especially we feel that media like the Al Jazeera or Saudi Arabia, they are so strong that even perhaps in one sense that Holy Father gets some of those areas very much, and our media, the Myanmar media, is very weak, and we don't have much access to reach to the international community. Although we were aware that the situation was bad, and I don't like to say genocide or ethnic cleansing, but has been very violent when the Rohingya, the term we call Rohingya, or the Muslims in Rakhine State made those militant attacks on the police outpost and all that. So the Myanmar military responded in a very violent way. That has been good. The attack made by the militant and the one responded by the Myanmar military actually had no comparison. There was an attack in a small way, but it's the government military attack in a very aggressive way with the bombings and shootings and burnings and all that, was very much which shouldn't have happened. And of course, personally, we were thinking that Aung San Suu Kyi would speak up earlier, although she spoke later on, and she's trying to follow the recommendations of Kofi Annan.
Are you confident that the recommendations of the Kofi Annan Commission, that they are actually being implemented, that there will be some kind of justice for these people, that they will be able to safely return, the many people who have fled across into Bangladesh?
Yeah, I'm quite confident that she's trying to follow up that, and even we have volunteers from the young people there itself, and following up step by step, but it's still very slow on that issues, and they also now they begin to accept those people coming back and other things. But the opinions are quite various and quite contested. These people, they move to Exodus to Cox's Bazar. Many of them also have the intention to move on to the third rich countries. That was the guess that many people were having then. So true that it was bad, but I think the international news exaggerated in some area then.
You called for an end to hate speech in the country, didn't you? You made a dramatic appeal, particularly to other religious leaders. What is the root of this hate speech? What is the general attitude of people there today?
Yeah, it has been happening, this hate speech, 4 or 5 years ago, when the Buddhist extremist monks and they were speaking in the loudspeaker everywhere in the country, and that was one. But later on, say a year and a half ago, it seemed to come down again. But recently, after this attack of the Muslims in the Rakhine State, I don't like to mention the name, but Buddhist, famous prominent Buddhist monks, he said that killing a non-Buddhist is justified. He quoted the example of a Sri Lankan king that where he killed many of the insurgents of Tamil Tigers. And so the Buddhist monk there, I don't remember the name, he came up and said, he told the king that those killings were justified because they were killing non-Buddhists. So,
how much influence do these very extreme views have in the country today?
In the sense that the Burmese in general have a great respect, a deep respect for the leaders, religious leaders, especially the Buddhist monks. They are like another god, these people are. So all the speeches and all the talks that the Buddhist monks make, have much influence on them. And because of that, the people in the Buddhist in general have Islamophobia. And among the community, Burmese community, the Buddhist community, the majority would have a sort of aversion for the Muslims in general, and particularly those Muslims in the Rakhine State.
What are you trying to do as Christian leaders, as the Catholic Church? What are you trying to do to contrast these views and to promote interreligious dialogue in the country?
Yeah, we have been trying our best to have interreligious group meetings and also persuading our priests and our religious people, especially in sermons and all, really to have respect and the understanding for other religions. And so we are trying to humble that in Myanmar has many ethnic groups and different religions. So we are trying to speak out, or we are trying to work out towards unity in diversity. So as long as we are in conflict, then we cannot have peace in the country nor any development.
The Catholic Church is a tiny minority, even amongst the Christian churches, isn't it? Do you have a good working relationship with the other Baptist, other Protestant leaders there as well?
In the out of 51 million, 7% are Christians, and Catholic would be about 1.4%, which is about 700,000 and all that. We work very well with the other Christian, the Baptist and other Christian denominations, and we go on very well with that. Not only that, but we have a very working relationship even with the Buddhist monks, and they have understanding. So we don't have any conflict or any difficulty neither with the Buddhists nor the Muslims nor the other Christians. When the news of the Pope is spread all over the country, we do hear of any negative remarks from even from the side of the Buddhist monks and even from those extremist Buddhist monks. It seems that they are in favor of receiving the Pope, Only thing, the Pope has to be very careful what terms he will use and all those things, especially the sensitive one about the Rohingyas and all. So we are asking the Pope at least, but he could mention that all the situations, difficult situation in the Rakhine state and in the Kachin state about the civil war and all that, what's happening there. But we request him just to refrain from using the word Rohingya, etc.
How is the situation in Kachin state and the other areas where Christians were very much being persecuted, weren't they, under the military some years ago?
Yeah, this war has been going on for many years, and it's not ended up yet. It's this war going on. Of course, these days, these months, they've quieted down a bit, but they have not reached to the agreement for peace building. So Aung San Suu Kyi is making this Pyongyang peace conference. Already the second one has finished, and it is progressing. But the ethnic groups, the armed ethnic groups, some of them are still reluctant and still suspicious of the especially of the military. Yeah.
You talked in your message also about the problems of chronic poverty.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So many young people who are forced to go abroad and work in slave-like conditions.
Yes.
What are you doing to try and support them?
Yeah. For that, these past 50, 60 years, because of the lack of education, that they don't have employment, and so they just go to the neighboring country for work, and the migrant workers, and especially in Thailand, we have about 3 million people working there now. So with our education and employment facilities, we hope that the young people more will stay there. And so the main thing is a top priority that we give into the country and the nation building is the education of the children first and then also young people. So the change will not take place overnight, but gradually we hope that with the education of the children, formal education, vocational education, that will make the opportunities for work and, for our young people.
My thanks to Cardinal Charles Bo, Archbishop of Yangon.